1320 WILS. It is Friday. Thanks for joining us. What a week it's been. First of all, Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis President James Bullard coming out and saying that the Fed should not consider raising interest rates next month. He says there's a lot of uncertainty over the fiscal policies of the Trump administration, and it's clouding the U.S. economic outlook. One of those things the Trump administration is seriously considering now is the border added tax. Let's talk about it all with Bill Tatro, economist, columnist. Find him at BillTatro.com, of course. Bill, great to have you on WILS.
Michael, always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. And, of course, there's always things to talk about with what's going on in the world and, of course, what's going on with the Trump administration.
Hey, this concern about uncertainty and what the Donald Trump administration might do economically or diplomatically, are things really that unknown?
That's the uncertainty. But I think there's a degree of actual certainty from the standpoint that an economic cycle has been started quite a while ago by the Federal Reserve. I guess we could say it started in 1913 when the Federal Reserve was inaugurated, initiated, and signed into law. They seem to kind of muddy the waters all the time. But the bottom line is that
I want to ask you about that, though, because you said there is a degree of certainty. What is the certainty right now in your view, then?
I think the certainty is the realization that the growth in this economy is illusionary, that the jobs that we keep saying, oh, we're at a 4.8 or a 4.9 unemployment, but the reality is the jobs that have been created are low income. We see people who are taking two jobs. We see that kind of snowball that continues on, and it is that to me is the certainty that it's going to be, you know, it's not going to be better tomorrow. It's not going to be better next week, and that's why I have believed all along, and I've been consistent on your program and others of saying, and I'm a deflationist, that we're kind of a one and done as far as interest rates. I know the plots, the dots that the Federal Reserve, they look at, these are what the guys think, that they're calling for three more rate increases this year. Mm-hmm. But in my estimation, and looking at the economy, that would be a killer.
So
it would be an absolute killer.
Where we are now with the unemployment rate, are you anticipating it to go up then as the year progresses?
Are we talking about what is being put forth as far as the numbers?
The official numbers, yeah, exactly.
The official numbers, yeah. We could see a little bit of an upticking depending upon the participation pool. I think the real numbers are, when you look at it, when you don't count that 90 million people who are so-called out of the participation pool, and, of course, Janet Yellen thinks most of them are on vacation or retiring in Sedona or Scottsdale or Boca Raton, but the reality is they're just not being counted.
Okay.
And that's not going to decrease. I've been studying the last couple of weeks the amount of technological advancements that McDonald's is doing. Have you seen their ATM machine for the Big Mac? It's amazing. It takes absolutely no human involvement, and they're starting to roll these things out.
So just give me on this unemployment issue. We've got 90 million Americans out there that are not working or not full-time working. What is there any scenario where we can get many of them back into the workforce?
There's a scenario if you can bring the jobs back here to the United States. But the particular programs, you mentioned the border added tax. This is, to me, simply a replay of 1929 and Smoot-Hawley. I like the fact that some of the congressmen or senators are saying it's a border added tax. It's not a tariff. It's not a tariff. And I go, no, wait a minute. You know, a tariff by any other name, a duck by any other name is still a duck. If you have a product coming in from Mexico, you have a product coming in, let's say all of a sudden you bring your tomatoes in that are sold at the grocery store, and the tomatoes coming in from Mexico that you're buying for your salad and I'm buying for my salad, or let's say, I'll just say an example, are $2 a pound. All of a sudden now with the 20% tax, it's now $2.40. Now, you may say, well, that's not a big deal, but it's a regressive tax for the people who can who are on fixed income or low income. They might have been able to buy that 1 pound, but maybe now they can only buy the half a pound.
The idea behind it, though, is what? That would somehow cause manufacturers to keep jobs or bring jobs into the U.S., that tax?
Yeah, that's the idea, okay? That's the whole idea. And that was the whole idea, protect and make sure that you're protecting manufacturing or agriculture or all those different things that are American and get it brought back to America. We've been through this before. We saw this in Smoot Hawley. And all of a sudden, if we are going to do that, do they think that the world is not going to do that?
Yeah, but the argument is we're the superpower. We're the economic force, and they're going to have to bend to our will.
Yeah, they're going to, theoretically, the idea is bend to our will. But the reality is you're starting to see even Republican senators and congressmen are starting to question that. You know, they're looking and they're saying, wait a minute, haven't we done this before? And that's a regressive tax. You're putting a tax. Much of what's bought at Walmart, you look at the demographic or the profile of the shopper of Walmart, it is basically low income.
Okay.
Now, if all of a sudden Walmart, every product that comes in that they're selling is increased by 20%, right, who's impacted?
But what about what we've already 1%. Tried? We've had NAFTA in place. Some say that's the reason we saw these jobs go to Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
So if that didn't work, where does that leave us? If that doesn't work and we have the tax doesn't work either, which direction do we go in now then?
Well, I keep saying, and I've said this over and over, and I said it on this program, what you do, and as an economist, I put forth a tax plan, and I'll say it again. You take a flat tax on corporations. They're talking about lowering the corporate tax bracket. Okay, that's fine. But now if you put a flat tax, let's say it's 20%, but then give them a credit for every job that they're bringing back here. You gotta, and if they don't bring the jobs back, then tax them. But if they bring the jobs back, they've got to make it worthwhile. You have to make it economically worthwhile. If a business, Donald Trump knows this, he is in business. If they're making more money by having cheaper labor overseas, mm-hmm, then what you do is make the credits enough to offset that gain from overseas.
Has that ever been seriously discussed in Washington, from what you know, or?
Pardon me?
Has that ever been seriously discussed in Washington, from what you know?
No, the only discussion was when I had it with Max Baucus and John McCain one morning having coffee in the lobby where John McCain lived in Phoenix, and where I lived. And we had that conversation, and Baucus and, senator from Colorado, I think it is, and John McCain both said the same thing. Well, you can't do that because that would disrupt the jobs in, let's say, because we were talking about a call center in Philippines where there are like 700 people employed. And I said, well, why don't we bring them back and put the call center in Dearborn or put the call center in Tempe?
Yeah.
Well, you disrupt the economy over there. And I said, so you guys are more concerned with the economy over there and the people over there than the people over here. And they just smiled.
Really? And how do you make sense of that? Why would they care so much about these far off economies?
If you can make sense of that, Michael, you're a better man than I, Gunga Din.
We're talking to Bill Tatro here on 1320 WIL. Let's find him at BillTatro.com. Let me ask you about this $4.5 trillion balance sheet that the Fed currently has. We talked to one economist who said that, look, it's not a big deal. It's just sitting there. They'll find a way to unwind it, and it won't really have a huge impact. How big of a deal is this at the moment, do you think?
Well, I think the first thing, and as Rand Paul would tell you, is to audit it. Because we think that it's 4.5 or 4.9 or whatever it is, but we don't know because there's been no audits. That's the first thing. The second thing is, what is on that balance sheet? You know, primarily, I thought it was by law that it had to be basically treasuries on there. But we know after 2008, yeah, there could be car loans on there. There could be student debt. There could be anything on there. Mm-hmm. And so that's the first thing. But in unwinding, that means that you're going to have to sell into the market. All right? Now, selling into the market, remember, the Federal Reserve can just go to the banks and say, okay, guys, guess what? We're putting on your balance sheet this debt. you're going to take it, and we're taking cash out of the system, and we're going to take it because they can just arbitrarily do that.
Okay. But, and these banks are flush with cash right now, are they not?
Yeah, they are.
Okay.
And so now all of a sudden you start taking money out. But remember, the marketplace and all the traders and the hedge funds and all like that, they kind of they thrive on that liquidity, that cash that's out there, and it's there to fund into the system. You start to take that away. Think about what happens in the markets when there's just this hint of a tax or of an interest rate increase.
Mm-hmm.
But if all of a sudden they say, look, we're going to have to kind of unwind this. Well, I disagree with the economists and doctor. I think it is a big deal.
One last thing, Bill. I know you're not a fan of the Trump approach to the potential border tax and so on. Is there anything you're seeing so far that you are feeling good about in terms of Trump policies for the economy?
Well, he said he would start to do things when he came in the first couple of weeks. So he is starting taking action. I do have to tell you, though, I was stunned this morning when I saw that Elliot Abrams is going to be in as number two man in the State Department. I would have to say I thought I voted for Donald Trump. I didn't vote for Hillary Clinton.
Uh-huh.
But Elliot Abrams, I mean, he's a war. He always liked the chief advisor to George Bush as far as Iraq is concerned. It seemed to be contrary to everything that Donald Trump has talked about to put this guy in. I don't think he's draining the swamp. So, mm-hmm. You know, it remains to be seen. I step back.
And the fight over his cabinet choices so far, in general, do you think he's choosing the right people for the departments?
I think we don't know. I mean, you know, you're talking about the debate over the Gale for education.
Right, DeVos.
He's got people in there. Yeah, he's got people in there for that are from Goldman Sachs. A lot of these people are not my choices, but a lot of them, we'll see. I mean, it's different. They're different. We hope they're different from the last 8 or 16 years, but we'll just see as time goes by.
I mean, Democrats say
they react to different situations.
There's so many conflicts of interest. That's what Democrats say about, especially the billionaires from Goldman Sachs. Is that?
Yeah, Elliot Abrams is my chief concern right now because he is the guy who says he believes that this America should be in the business of nation building, which means you go in, destroy a country, remove the person, then and their infrastructure, then rebuild it and police it for the next 15 years. It's Libya. It's what Hillary did in Libya. Yeah. But Elliot Abrams is a big proponent of the Hillary Clinton philosophy. I didn't think Donald Trump was going down that road.
Economist and columnist Bill Tatro, BillTatro.com. Find him there. Bill, it's always enlightening. Thank you very much.
Michael, always a pleasure. We'll see you next time.
We're just getting started. I'm Michael Cohen. This is the 1320 WILS Capital City Recap, and we'll be right back.